The content of this program is meant for educational purposes only, because knowledge is power. However, the controversial subject matter discussed may not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, staff, or its advertisers.
The Power Hour has been in existence since the turn of the 21st century. The need for independent media is more critical than ever as people search for the truth. For the past 20 years, the Power Hour has focused on subjects which inform and educate about the real challenges we face as a nation. Join us as we discuss the Constitution, current events, and natural health solutions with the best experts on radio. Learn from some of the most insightful commentators you'll find in talk radio. Now, here's your host of the Power Hour, Dave Krieger.
And a pleasant good Wednesday hump day morning to you. It's 1 minute after the hour of 11 a.m. Central Time where we are. And of course, the big news, 10% off OptiVita products, 10% off Good Health Naturally products. And when you spend $300, you get $20 off your order for Strauss Naturals or North American Urban Spice products. Just on those two. As a result of the sale, we had Justin Porter on yesterday for the entire two-segment portion discussing all of the scientific values of these products so that you're not confused when you go online to order. Also, Wayne Elliott from Strauss will be joining us this morning on the show. Fred Deshefsky, also one of our proud partners at U.S. Coin Capital, will be on later. And, you know, all the good stuff is happening here. We have a partners tab. You can go shop on thepowerhour.com. If you do, please call and let us know. And we have a Power Hour auction item from Phil in Florida. There is a flyer posted on thepowerhour.com for this year's USS Liberty Remembrance Day petition drive and public information tabling. It'll be held at 12 noon on Friday, June 7th at the Volusia County Administrative Center. That's at 123 West Indiana Avenue in DeLand, Florida. Please pass on the flyer to others if you would. And there's an auction item, right? So you can get that information if you go to the Power Hour website. Okay. D-Day tomorrow, anniversary, 80th. We're going to be talking to Jared Frederick, too, on the show today about a book called Into the Cold Blue, My World War II Journeys with the Mighty 8th Air Force by John F. Holman and Jared Frederick. All right, moving on to world news. Besides D-Day, a group of dedicated veterans are heading to France with the Royal British Legion to commemorate that. Biden, of course, is in Paris. He's going to get on there. Maybe he'll stumble on the beach and do something totally insane. They're going to mark the role that they played in the greatest invasion in history 80 years ago tomorrow. I'm talking about those dedicated veterans. They were stopped throughout the seven-hour ferry crossing, respectfully asked for selfies, offered a pint of beer. Others queued up to shake their hands just before they arrived in the Normandy coast. A wreath for those who didn't make it ashore was dropped at sea. Because, as you know, if you saw Saving Private Ryan on the front end of that movie, that pretty much gives you an idea. My understanding was is that somebody leaked this information to the press and the Germans got wind of it and they were ready for him. You be the judge. Maybe Jared Frederick has some information on that. Now, of course, if Reuters said it, it must be true. Yeah. LMAO. Israel has announced a new military campaign against Hamas in central Gaza today, where Palestinian medics said dozens of people have been killed in airstrikes, complicating expected talks between mediators to try to finalize a ceasefire deal. Those numbers, by the way, are unconfirmed, but Reuters said it, so it must be true. See, now it's time to go out and riot in the college campuses, okay? Yeah. See how stupid and reactionary people are? They hear something and they go ballistic. I don't. I sit there and I analyze it and then beat the living you-know-what out of it. The Israeli military said jets were hitting Hamas militant targets in central Gaza while ground forces were operating in a focused manner with guidance from intelligence in the area of Al-Baraj, one of Gaza's long-established refugee settlements. Moving right along here, India's Modi is set to be sworn in for a record-equaling third term. June 8th. After the key allies pledged their continued support a day after the humbling election verdict that saw his party lose its majority in parliament. And of course, no more chicken Big Macs. An EU court has ruled against McDonald's in a trademark case. This report out by Fu Yun Chi and Ho Li Fook. The fast food chain McDonald's does not have the right to use the term Big Mac for poultry products after it had not used them for five consecutive years. Europe's second top court said today in a partial win for Irish rival Supermax in a long-running trademark dispute. Meanwhile, a former Meta engineer has sued the company, saying he was fired over handling of Gaza content. Now, why did that make the world news when it involves an American company? Well, this Meta engineer's name is Faris Hamad, a Palestinian-American engineer who had been on Meta's machine learning team since 2021. In the complaint, he accused Meta of a pattern of bias against Palestinians, saying the company deleted internal employee communications that mentioned the deaths of their relatives in Gaza and conducted investigations into the use of the Palestinian flag emoji. What? This is all about an emoji? The company launched no such investigations for employees posting Israeli or Ukrainian flag emojis in similar contexts, according to the lawsuit. Wow. So this is partially about what emojis there were? You see how crazy life is getting these days, folks? We are living in a very litigious society. 6 minutes after the hour, lots more news to report. We move on to You Snooze. Now that we got away from Reuters, Republicans are bowing to scorch earth after the Trump conviction, spurred by the volcanic temper of their base. They're now preparing to scorch the earth in the wake of former President Trump's conviction, potentially setting off a chain reaction that could fundamentally alter the American political system entirely. No one knows exactly how far they're going to go in their response. Believe it when I see it. What is clear is conservatives have no patience for Biden's argument Friday morning that justice was served in Manhattan. They know what lawfare is, unprecedented. The good guys must be as tough as the villains or freedom is doomed, said senior Trump advisor Stephen Miller, telling Real Clear Politics without offering exact details. Representative Mike Collins, meanwhile, was explicit. Time for red state AGs and DAs to get busy, the Georgia Republican said. Today, floating the idea, Republicans should begin using the courts to pursue their political enemies. Wow. Hillary Clinton's campaign-funded Steele dossier is a good start, Collins continued, referencing how the former Secretary of State's presidential campaign misreported their spending on the infamous opposition research document. No criminal charges brought, even though she was later fined $11,000 by the FEC. Statute of limitations expired, but I'm told that's not a thing anymore, Collins said. See, as long as you can go out and drag people across the coals, doesn't matter. I mean, look what they did to Trump. And they actually hid. See, in order to make those things felonies that he was accused of, they would have had to show that he was using these documents to cover up another crime, but that other crime was never stated. And that's why the Republicans are pissed. The ones on Capitol Hill are preparing a more traditional counteroffensive, one within established parliamentary rules. Led by Utah Senator Mike Lee, eight Republicans have vowed to oppose all major legislation not directly relevant to the safety of the American people and blockade all judicial nominees in Trump's protest of his conviction. Oh, so that's what they're going to do now. You know, I would like for all the Republicans in Congress. Because, see, the rhinos will be perfectly obvious because they'll vote in favor of shut down all the spending bills, period. You want to stop the nonsense? Stop funding these things. Stop giving the ATF, the FBI, the CIA, the NSA, just cut their budgets. Strip them down to bare bones where they have to lay off thousands. That's how you stop this problem. We're tired of this surveillance state. Meanwhile, we've got nine takeaways from the first days of the Hunter Biden gun trial in Delaware. Trial is expected or is resumed already. The defense is going to try to convince the jury Hunter did not knowingly commit wrongdoing, as prosecutors say, in order to frame Hunter as a victim of drug addiction. The defense's strategy might be to obtain jury nullification. Oh, good luck with that. You got to convince the jury that they can vote to acquit, just blanket, whether they find for the prosecution or not. They can just completely nullify everything. The DOJ will frame their prosecution as no one is above the law, and it doesn't matter who you are or what your name is. Gee, that sounds familiar, doesn't it? The jury is split evenly between men and women, but the three alternatives are women. Many jurors seated in the case said they have real family members who experienced drug abuse. The FBI confirmed Hunter's laptop is real. That also came out. Biden reportedly intends to have a phone conversation with Hunter every day during the trial. Gee, I wonder if he's going to have a conversation with the judge and with the prosecutors, too. Biden family members and associates are likely going to be in court every day where the jury can see him, especially Jill. Hallie Biden, the ex of Hunter Biden and widow of his brother, Beau, will testify about her use of crack with Hunter, who is still in denial that he ever did meth. Melissa Cohen Biden, Hunter's wife, verbally assaulted not-for-profit Marco Polo founder Garrett Ziegler amid the proceedings. Call himself a Nazi piece of, POS, okay? Hunter's charged with a count of false statement of the purchase of a firearm, one count of possession by a person who is unlawful user or addicted to a controlled substance, and one count of false statement related to information required to be kept by an FFL. So, takeaways from the key primaries. That happened yesterday. June 4th saw a series of closely watched primaries in New Jersey, Iowa, and Montana. Here's the results. Rancher businessman, ex-Navy SEAL Tim Sheehy notched a convincing win in the Republican Senate primary contest, defeating Brad Johnson, former Secretary of State, as well as environmental contractor Charles Walkingchild. He's now on a path to facing incumbent Senator John Tester in November. Mr. Tester soundly beat a challenger in his primary, getting more than 97% of the vote against U.S. Navy vet Michael Hummert. Meanwhile, in New Jersey, Representative Andy Kim won the Democratic Party's primary to fill the Garden State Senate seat, currently occupied by Senator Bob Menendez, who, of course, is nearly two-decade tenure, has been clouded by multiple indictments. In the Republican side of things, developer Curtis Bayshaw won by a smaller margin than Mr. Kim, ultimately beating Mendham Borough Mayor Christine Serrano Glassner, who was endorsed by former President Trump and a small businessman, Justin Murphy. In New Jersey's 7th District, Representative Thomas Keene Jr., Republican, won an uncontested primary, as did Democrat Susan Altman. Mr. Keene Jr. flipped the seat from Democrats when he won it in 2022. Lannon Backham defeated Melissa Vine in Iowa's 3rd District Democratic primary, setting up a showdown with incumbent Rep. Zach Nunn in the fall. In Iowa's 1st, another GOP-led district in the crosshairs of the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, University of Iowa Law Professor Christina Bohannon has moved forward after winning an uncontested primary. So has Representative Marianne Miller Meeks, an eye doctor and U.S. Army vet who defeated Ms. Bohannon in 2022. Now we do the math here. We have 153 days until November 5th. That means that potentially nearly 1.8 million more illegals will get into the U.S. Biden, of course, signed an executive order to close asylum processing when daily illegal crossings averaged 2,500. Oh, yeah. The border will remain shut once it hits that. And it's got to be a whole week. So 2,500 times 7 equals 17,500 people crossing the border. And it's got to stay that way for at least a week. And then he closes the border. And then, of course, it remains shut until it drops below 1,500 for at least a week. But wait a minute. That means that 1,500 people gather at the border and they count, let's see, eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Yeah, okay. So let's see, we got 1,499 people, so we got to open the borders again. You see how stupid this is? Of course the GOP is going to legally challenge it. Meanwhile, Missouri Senator Josh Hawley is accusing Biden of granting de facto amnesty to illegal aliens via the immigration courts. Can you blame him? Of course, he writes, based on Syracuse University's Transactional Records Access Clearinghouse, that thus far during the administration, the portion of migrants allowed to remain in this country has risen to 77%. Those ordered removed, 22%. Hawley is requesting information on those hundreds of thousands whom the government has closed deportation cases for, despite they're not securing asylum. including if DHS is still tracking these migrants, whether they've sought to bring family members on visas into the U.S., and the total of those who have gone on to commit crimes. Well, good luck with that, Josh. More political theater. A.G. Garland, of course, was in court yesterday telling all those GOP lawmakers to go piss up a drainpipe. I'm not giving you the audio recordings of special counsel Robert Hur's interviews with President Biden. Yep. There you have that. Oh, they could use that in AI could be used to create deep fakes of the audio, distort what Biden actually said. You see how stupid and redundant this is getting? You know, I mean, if I'm going to use AI to do anything, it would be to take Fauci's picture and darken his hair and put a Hitler-style mustache on him. Louisiana lawmakers have approved surgical castration option for those guilty of sex crimes against kids. Isn't that amazing? Surgical castration. So, in other words, anybody convicted rape, incest, or molestation against a child under the 13 gets turned into a eunuch. Boeing Starliner, by the way, has launched its first astronaut-based flight. Just happened. It's making headlines now. A handful of states, by the way, on this molestation situation. California, Florida, Texas have laws in place allowing for chemical castration. Louisiana, I think, would be one of the first. Some of those states, offenders can opt for the surgical procedure if they prefer. That's amazing that you can have a sex change virtually just by opting for surgical removal. Of course, they don't invert the penis into a vagina, so therefore you just, you know, you're a eunuch. And you can't do anything. And see, when they do that, your body is going to flip out because of lack of the ability to produce testosterone and other chemicals. So your days are numbered if that happens. Your body will just like literally just go crazy. You'll suffer from all sorts of metabolic issues. Amazing how they do that. That could that be, could that constitute cruel and unusual punishment? I don't know. I mean, will it help with closure to the people that have been molested and raped and whatnot? I don't know. You know, would you stand up and show us your, wow, that is shortcoming. Wow. You know, now do you feel better, honey, that this guy who raped you no longer possesses the means to do that anymore? Well, he's still got his fingers. Maybe we should cut those off too so he doesn't go groping. Wait a minute. You have to do that with Trump and Biden too. Hey, diddle, diddle. Ashley's in the shower and it's not a fiddle. And under the economy and business, hey, I got to poke fun at this stuff, folks. This is just ridiculous news, right? Thanks to California's new minimum wage law, Rubio's, and it has nothing to do with Marco. This is a coastal grill that serves stuff like fish tacos. It's struggled for weak sales for years. They are now closing 48 locations, including in the most popularly visited one in Stockton, California, which in April started requiring fast food chain restaurants with 60 units or more to pay workers a minimum of $20 an hour. So Rubio's, 3.5 years after they declared bankruptcy, now they've shut down more, 48 locations, so they don't have to comply with the minimum wage law. Thank you, Newsom and California. 86 stores are going to remain open in California, Arizona, and Nevada, but less than the 60 units required to have to pay the minimum wage. You see how the states can screw up their own economies? You can thank Newsom for that. He signed it into law. Meanwhile, at the other, on the East Coast, Kathy Hochul, the governor, is considering delaying the state's pending congestion pricing plan. Out of concern, all the Democrats are complaining about it. Hey, you're going to kill our house races this year. Yeah, see, Hakeem Jeffries even contacted her and says, I'm a House minority leader. I'm trying to get, you know, the Democratic majority. Republican victories in New York congressional races have helped the GOP seize power 2 years ago. Hochul and Jeffries are both anxious to reverse it. You see, here's what's going to happen. Many car drivers, including those going to Trump Tower, are going to be charged $15 for entering a designated zone of Manhattan south of 60th Street during the day, trucks would pay more. The revenue would generate $1 billion a year, would go toward a $15 billion capital plan to build and renovate public transportation infrastructure. Problem is, it's going to kill the Democrats' chances of being reelected, and they want Hochul to stop it. 19 minutes after the hour, whoop, there it is. I'm talking about whooping cough. The CDC is out fear-mongering again. They want to push the DTaP jab. These jabs have caused seizures. You see, they found, Big Pharma found that it wasn't profitable with the DTP, diphtheria, tussis, you know, pertussis, DPT, tetanus. Those shots cause seizures. I know this personally because a neighbor's kid across the street had a seizure and he drowned in one of the apartment complex pools he wasn't supposed to be swimming in. But he didn't care. He jumped in the pool and drowned at the bottom because he had a seizure. And they've been suing everybody that parents have been, trying to get closure. Because the pertussis vaccine was no longer split cell because it was too expensive to produce. I know enough about it. I've studied it. But the CDC is out there talking all about these whooping cough cases in Oregon and Washington State, trying to scare people. So now they got to run out and get the DTaP jab. Health officials also warning of possible measles exposure at Philadelphia International Airport. Of course, they can't identify the source of it, but yet they had to put this out. Kind of sounds like fear-mongering. Of course they were advocating getting the MMR jab. Remember, we talked about that yesterday in the show. This is the jab that's causing kids to develop type 1 diabetes. People understand this is benefiting the government and Big Pharma, because if they can kill off your little kids and give them diabetes and all sorts of other stuff, oh, man, this is a problem. But, of course, you know, those who are woke will just ignore everything we're saying, so whatever. Yeah, we can make fun of these people, too, because when it comes to fear-mongering, messages like this that are unfounded and have no backing whatsoever stick out like a sore thumb. So take that with a grain of salt. Nature's Cure, we have something posted on there. There should be 5 natural treatments. The article missed was honey. And when you look in the comments, see, this is the Epic Health category, that a lot of these are premium articles, which you can't access unless you pay. Because, I mean, after the news we reported yesterday about their CFO, you know, money laundering, makes you wonder whether you even want to subscribe to Epoch Times anymore. 4 natural treatments for allergy relief. For those of you that don't want to sit there and have your face over a diffuser, that's pretty much the best way, is to inhale these things. Butterbur, that is a shrub native to Europe, Asia, and North America. The leaves were traditionally used to wrap butter to keep it from melting in warm weather, giving the plant its name, butterbur. Been long used in traditional medicines to treat headaches, migraines, alleviate pain, heal wounds, treat colds, asthma, and allergy symptoms. Stinging nettle, which you find in Strauss prostate, bladder, and kidney support formula. Yep, that's another one. It's used to purify the blood of toxins, regulate metabolism, support the lungs, kidneys, and liver. Rosemary is another one. You'll find that in some of our products from North American Urban Spice. Also, the black seed oil, North American Urban Spice, we talked about that. It's got 3 main bioactive components. And, of course, we have a list at the Power Mall of all the black seed products that we offer. And you can get them, and they'll be drop shipped to you. Local unfiltered raw honey. Well, we do have that as well. Wild raw oregano honey gives its own benefits to help with allergies. Bee products like honey may help with wound healing, and bee pollen helps it boost the immune system and gets rid of all that other garbage in there. See, so that's about 20% of the world's population's got allergic diseases like asthma, eczema, and hay fever. And that's one of the reasons why we do honey. You know what I mean? Spoonful of something you should have in the kitchen cabinet. Moving on to science and tech. Instagram is testing online ads that you can't skip. Several X and Reddit users are reporting seeing this feature. The Verge is reporting these are tests. And what happens is once you spot the feature when you're scrolling through stories and posts. All of a sudden, it just locks you in. You can't go anywhere until you watch it. Is that something you want to do? These are unskippable 30-second commercials, also featured on YouTube. That was added to their TV app last year. Both YouTube and TikTok also have slot ads between their short-form videos, but you can still swipe right past them, but you can't on Instagram. Surveillance state, John Whitehead, who we had on last week from Rutherford Institute, what's next for Battlefield America? All you have to look at Israel's high-tech military tactics, and that'll show you what's going to happen here in America. It's called predictive policing. Israel is using high-tech military tactics, surveillance, and weaponry to advance its authoritarian agenda, and now they're being supplied to local police departments. The surveillance technology has been made available to the FBI and the NYPD as well. They're turning local police agencies into extensions of the military. Under gardening, farming, and homesteading, white vinegar is a gardener's best friend. We've got 11 clever uses for it in the garden. Artificial fertilizer, toxic pesticide, fungicide, herbicides. Yeah, it's all good for that. COVID news. New York court has allowed a lawsuit over refusal to give a dying woman ivermectin to proceed. Deborah Bucco died at Mount Sinai Hospital, Nassau, in New York City. Yep, Mount Sinai, South Nassau. She was twice forced to give COVID-19 as a prescription. And the hospital, of course, stopped the second round of treatment. She was getting better. And, of course, they said, hey, you know, the Public Readiness and Emergency Preparedness Act, the PREP Act, we don't have to administer this drug. Yeah, but she was getting better. And the judge, of course, when they filed their motion to dismiss the hospital, said, nope, sorry. Here's the thing. This ivermectin fit under the definitions of a covered person and covered countermeasure under the law. But the suit against them does not bring a claim relating to the use of it to treat COVID-19, rather. In stunning contrast to South Nassau's assertions, the complaint alleges, with particularity, that they acted wrongfully and negligently by repeated refusingly to administer ivermectin to Deborah Bucco. Notwithstanding, it had been prescribed, and you were supposed to give it to her, and you didn't. So guess what? The PREP Act is inapplicable, and the ruling of the case moves forward. So now the hospital's going to get sued because they screwed this woman by not giving her ivermectin and killed her in the process. Sarah Gonzalez, who is a Blaze TV news reporter, visited the Dallas Pride All Ages event. Oh, my gosh. She says, now I'm going to have to undergo some sort of exorcism because of everything I saw there. And the kids were exposed. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Men bare-chested. Oh, yeah. Yeah. All of that. Supposed to be family friendly. Oh, yeah, it was, of course. She goes, I feel like I need an exorcism every time I leave. I don't understand how they can get away with this, saying it's family friendly. Under pet news, there is a heat wave warning that's coming on. Pet owners need to brace themselves. We have a National Weather Service conditions map on our website. If you get the email blast, they're showing you where everything is. 34 million Americans or so are affected to avoid the heat. Keep their pets in. Drink plenty of water, reduce physical activity outdoors. Pet owners have the extra responsibility to make sure their animals don't overdo it and get heat stroke. In case you missed it, an 83-year-old South Carolina woman was gored by a bison at Yellowstone National Park. She is in critical condition in a hospital in Idaho Falls. Why? Because she got too close. They said at least 25 yards. She didn't. She got up close and the thing gored her. Well, stupid is as stupid does, folks. And of course, we have a teens that beat a homeless man so badly he was left with his intestines hanging out. Wow, how'd that happen? Well, they ripped out his colostomy bag and yanked his intestines out with him as they beat him to a pulp while using racial expletives against him.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. I thought I would discuss an item that's very valuable to my personal health and well-being. That product is called Curcumin X4000. Its potent antioxidant properties have been shown to decrease swelling and allow us to enjoy our golden years. Take control over your health today, guys. Order Curcumin by calling 877-817-9829 or order at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
break the bond to Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
Hi, this is Dave Krieger for the Power Mall. If you've seen me take a Regaresp while live streaming on the Power Hour, you should know that I take this great product from North American Urban Spice regularly. One of the worst things that can happen to a talk show host is lung congestion, and a Regaresp keeps that at bay, especially during allergy season. If you're suffering from sinus issues, you may too be suffering from sinus drainage, which gets into your lungs and that affects your breathing. I practice what I preach when it comes to having clear lungs. I can't say enough good things about a Regaresp in helping to restore lung function due to sinus drainage and allergies. If sinus issues are bugging you like they do me, do yourself a favor and pick up a bottle of a Regaresp from North American Urban Spice online at thepowermall.com or call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. A Regaresp, one of the great products from North American Urban Spice.
For the past 20 years, the Power Mall has been a trailblazer, leading the way in providing our customers with only the best health, wellness, and readiness products. We have worked hand in hand, helping to grow many small businesses, and we continue to provide exceptional customer service, educating our customers so they can make informed purchases. You can shop with confidence, knowing that we have personally vetted every product that we offer. Your health and well-being means so much to us. We have championed voting with your dollars. And when you shop with the Power Mall, you are helping to keep ever so important and often censored health information in the forefront. Buy from the good guys. Shop thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Or call 877-817-817. 9829. Hi, this is Jay from the Power Mall. I'm here to talk with you today about one of our most powerful products that does not get enough recognition. That product is Blockbuster All Clear by Good Health Naturally. Blockbuster is a blend of proteolytic enzymes and antioxidants, which combine serrapeptase and natokinase with digestive enzymes, antioxidants, pine bark extract, and much more. The unique combination of these ingredients have been carefully selected to provide powerful support for a range of health conditions, with particular benefit to heart and cardiovascular. Kidney health is another area that benefits from targeted enzyme support, as there is a close link between cardiovascular system and kidney function. If you'd like to learn more about this powerful product, give me a call today, 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com.
With inflation constantly chewing away at the value of paper money, perhaps it's time for Americans to bite back. Ownership of gold and silver coins provides great counterbalance to weaker paper money value. U.S. Coin Capital provides physical gold and silver coins. You can reach us directly at 1-800-878-2646. uscoincapital.com.
Hi, this is Linda from the Power Mall. I would like to tell you about a product that I personally take and recommend. I was very drawn to the Bone Active Topical Rub because I want to build healthy bones and prevent age-related bone loss, which so many of my friends have. Bone Active Oil contains three of the most potent mountain herbal oils known to man: sage, rosemary, and oregano. I rub it on my joints and on the bottom of my feet, and an added bonus is that it smells amazing. Not only is it potent by just rubbing it on the body, but also can be taken internally. Take advantage of the research. Use Bone Active Rubbing Oil and capsules to support a healthy overall bone density response. I'd love to talk with you more about this product. Call me at 877-817-9829 or learn more by visiting thepowermall.com.
Minutes after the hour of 11 a.m. Central Time, where we are on this hump day edition of the Power Hour. Dave Krieger with you. Thanks so much for joining us. And of course, tomorrow is the 80th anniversary of D-Day, June 6, 1944. Understand that, you know, many books have been written about this. Many movies have been shown on this very subject. We just talked about the people from England that took the ferry across the channel to visit Normandy. We know that, you know, the guy that licks the ice cream cone and sniffs hair, he's over in Paris right now. I guess he's going to be shuttled out there so he can make some sort of political statement at the beach. Jared Frederick, who helped co-author a book with John F. Homan called Into the Cold Blue, My World War II Journeys with the Mighty 8th Air Force, joins us here on the Power Hour. Regnery History, by the way, is the publisher of the book, and you can access this through the Power Hour website if you just go to the guest tab, and the link to the book is there, and you can buy the book if you want to relive history as described by somebody that was inside as a co-pilot of a B-24 Liberator over Nazi Germany, raining death and destruction on the enemy. Jared Frederick, by the way, is the author and co-author of numerous books, including Dispatches of D-Day, Hang Tough, and Fierce Valor. He's appeared on PBS, C-SPAN, and Turner Classic Movies. He's a former park ranger at Gettysburg National Military Park. He is the host of Real History on YouTube and is assistant teaching professor of history at Penn State Altoona. Wow. What a bio, Jared. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Into the Cold Blue. First off, how did you come to hook up with John Homan to write this?
We were introduced by a mutual friend a number of years ago, and we had passing meetings over the years. But about 2 years ago, I reached out to our mutual friend, and I asked her opinion. Are there any World War II veterans who would be interested in sharing their story? Yes, I've written a number of books on the Second World War, but I wanted to do one that was a little bit more personal in a way that I could engage with the subject matter. And it turned out that John Homan was the ideal person to do this. He's now 100 years old, but his memory is incredibly sharp. He can remember back to the weather conditions on specific missions that he flew 80 years ago, and we were very fortunate that he saved and cataloged so much of his history that all of that was very handy reference material as we were compiling his story.
I sure hope he got the centenarian letter from the president.
I'm not sure.
Oh, yeah, he forgot to send it. You know, this would be embarrassing. And see, here's the thing. The guys that showed up that took the ferry across the English Channel were all in their late 90s. A majority of them were. So, I mean, they were ages of, what, 19 to 24 at the time they went over. Were they older than that?
Yeah, the average age of an American GI fighting in Europe was around 23 or 24. John, my co-author, was a little bit younger than that. He was 20 years old when he flew 34 combat missions over the span of 4 months in 1944. So, you know, once again, you know, he wouldn't be old enough to vote at the time. He still wouldn't be old enough to buy a beer. Yet he was entrusted with operating a $300,000 aircraft in one of the most momentous episodes of history. So perspective is interesting.
Yeah, well, see, here's the one thing about the book, folks. I have a copy of it, and I've been sitting here reading it. And there is a map inside of this that Jared actually put together, our author. And it shows the Axis and the Allied, the World War II map in Western Europe and the journeys of John Holman. And, I mean, there are a lot of sorties here. I'm looking at everything they did. He took off from London and flew across the English Channel to get in here, or was he flying out of Paris, or where was he stationed? Where were most of these sorties? Where did the missions come from?
He was located at an air base in the East Anglia corner of the United Kingdom at an air station known as Halesworth,
right,
which isn't too terribly far away from Norwich. And his base was actually the closest of any Air Force, 8th Air Force base to the North Sea. And so in a way, you know, he was kind of like the front line, the front echelon of American air power that was stationed in England at the time. And their journeys in a single day could cover several thousand miles. Sometimes it would consist of being in an airplane for 8 or 9 hours of that wow. time. And the conditions were just abysmal. The planes were not pressurized. It was the same temperature inside the plane as it was outside the plane. There were no wow. amenities on board. There was no lunch counter. There was no restroom. It was a very primitive machine by John's standards.
But, I mean, you had to literally, what was the average altitude? I mean, they were flying at like a couple of thousand feet above.
The B-24 often flew in the range of about 20 to 25,000 feet. So 4 miles up.
Holy smokes. And it's freezing cold up there.
Yeah, it gets 2 degrees cooler for every 1,000 feet. So you can do the math.
Oh, my gosh. Well,
50
see
degrees on ground level, you can... Yeah. How it was.
And of course, based on this map, see, he had to cross the Netherlands and Belgium. Were they occupied by Germany at the time?
For some of his missions, yes.
Yeah, I noticed Grosbeck, Hussier, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those are two of the missions that he flew. He flew a lot of missions over France as well as into Germany. There was a lot of missions in Germany. Was he involved in the Dresden bombing raids?
He was not, and he's glad that he wasn't. That took place in February of 1945 as the Battle of Iwo Jima was happening and unfolding on the other side of the globe. He was rotated back to the United States in November, and well, right before Christmas, rather, 1944. And so he has some things to say, because I didn't want to back away from asking any of the hard questions. I wanted to pick his brain on, well, how do you feel now about all of these cities being bombed, all these German civilians being killed? And he very resolutely said that never on any of my missions was I ordered to bomb a hospital, a church, a school. Naturally, civilians will die in war when you're targeting industrial and military sites. But there was a job to do, and the only way to achieve it was to take it to the enemy. Now, all that said, the Air Force changes its strategy later on, and it later adopts a more indiscriminate bombing pattern like the British had been doing in earlier phases of the war. And John is very critical of that, and he was glad that he didn't partake in it.
Yeah, because we see so much of this going on today with Israel's indiscriminate bombing and airstrikes and everything else going on. You being an assistant teaching professor of history at Penn State, you understand what these protests that are going on right now. You see all this stuff firsthand and understand that way back when we weren't doing that. When you were in World War II, you were growing victory gardens. You were, you know, cutting out using certain things because they needed steel for the war. I mean, all of these things were happening. The U.S. actually was fully involved in this. We all had a common denominator. And of course, they were after everybody that they claimed. And this is where the paranoia set in, people who were communist sympathizers. And here these guys are giving their lives. Because, I mean, how many people did you reflect in the book at all, and perhaps you know this from history, how many people we lost in World War II?
The United States lost about 415,000 people, which, as harsh as it may seem, is actually a drop in the bucket compared to many other countries that were in the war even longer. When you look at the Soviet Union, when you look at China, they each lost about 20 million people. So it was a global tragedy. It claimed 65 million lives. And as John says in the book, mistakes were made, lives were lost. At times, this was a very imperfect war that was waged with a lot of trial and error. And I think that's one of the things that he wants people to reflect upon all these years later.
Well, you have a specific map of the line drawn on Heilbronn. What happened there?
That was one of several missions that John participated in. And like so many others, hardly a mission went by where his plane didn't succumb to enemy fire. And it really just depended on the severity. In many missions, it was a matter of getting a few pot shots at you. And inevitably, you'd come home with a bunch of holes in the hull of your ship. But in other instances, even more severe than that one, September 18th, 1944, his plane is shot to bits. It's amazing that he survived. Two engines go out, the tail is shot to pieces, the hydraulics go out. His plane looks like a piece of Swiss cheese.
Oh, my.
And they were flying this mission not at 20,000 feet, but 400 feet.
Ooh.
Because they were tasked with dropping supplies to U.S. paratroopers who had landed the day before. And somehow they were able to gain altitude, work their way back across the North Sea, and crash land on an emergency airstrip in England, where they also found out that they had a tire shot out as well.
No. See, now they didn't have all the gear flaps and everything where the tires retracted up into the fuselage like they do in today's commercial aircraft. All these things were, you know, sitting out there like a sore thumb waiting to get shot at. I'm surprised. I mean, people that were in his missions, other aircraft that were flown over their B-24s and whatnot, those also, I mean, many of them were actually shot down.
Yes. And John saw a lot of that happen firsthand. Death seemed yards away on certain missions. He saw planes with his friends blow up right in front of him. In other instances, he saw them bailing out over enemy territory, bound to become prisoners of the Germans. These were things that stuck with him and still do to an extent.
That's wild. Just even to fathom this. Folks, this is 80 years ago we're talking about now. And so the war didn't end until 1945, but in the meantime, between the time this was recounted in the book and 1945, that's the Dresden bombing raids happened, and of course the graphics that we saw from that were just phenomenal. It's just unbelievable the amount of life lost there on the ground when that happened. But now, as far as the involvement of liberating people from concentration camps, does he discuss that at all?
That wasn't something that he saw firsthand. He had been rotated back to the United States several months before American troops started to encounter that. But I think it's worthwhile to point out that as the war was being fought, he did not think of himself as a liberator. He did not think of himself as a freedom fighter. Only over time have these things become more apparent to him, where he's been able to reflect upon the bigger picture. And one of his comrades, and this is a story that we featured in the book, one of his comrades many decades later was on vacation in Europe. And this pilot struck up a conversation with somebody who was merely sitting in the same restaurant with him. And when that other restaurant patron realized that this man had been the pilot of a B-24, he immediately started to cry and to break down. And he says, "You'll never know what I owe you." And as it turns out, this man had been 16 years old when the Germans invaded his native Poland. And he was in captivity until 1945. I mean, he spent his entirety of his youth, for the most part, as a prisoner, as a forced laborer. And this man told the pilot, he said, "But as the war neared an end, as long as we could hear the engines of your planes, we knew there was hope." And that's certainly something very emotional.
Yeah, I bet it is. Now, on Real History, when you do this and narrate these things, have you gone into detail on this book and some of the historical perspectives of World War II involving John?
Yes, and in fact, the recent Apple TV series Masters of the Air afforded us ample opportunity to put John's story into context and compare it with the characters who were depicted in that show. And so we did an episode-by-episode breakdown of Masters of the Air that people are invited to take a look at, where we separate fact from fiction, and we tell you what the series gets right and what it sometimes gets wrong. I think overall it does a superlative job of capturing the essence of airman life. But John most definitely makes a few cameos in some of our conversations on that.
Wow. So, I mean, when it comes to and I noticed that you also have some photos in this book showing impact craters. And this is from bombing that you used to do. I mean, did he describe what these bombs were? I mean, how potent they were? I mean, that was their mission. Basically, they were bombers, right?
Yeah, they carried high explosive bombs, and there might be about a dozen of them that could fit in the bomb bay of his plane. But you can imagine they deliver quite a punch. And some of the photos that we have featured in the book, there's one that shows a Normandy crossroads that had been bombed into oblivion. More frequently, though, he and his crewmates bombed railroad marshaling yards. Railroads were one of the key instruments as to how Nazi Germany moved troops, supplies, natural resources, and those convergence points often became high-value targets.
No doubt. So something else, folks, the B-24 is also featured in a diagram with all the positions of the pilot, the co-pilot, and everybody else, the nose gunner. I mean, it's, you know, Jared, you do a really good job of putting that together so that people understand exactly how this plane was put together and what they had to do, and shows where the bomb bay is and everything else. Now, you talk about Normandy and history. Before we went on the air, folks, we had this conversation about what actually happened on D-Day when they landed on the beaches. And there were multiple beaches. You need to understand that. And those of you who are not historically minded, if you watched the movie with Tom Hanks and Matt Damon, Saving Private Ryan, we talked about this before the show, before we went on this segment, and some of that, I think the producers of the film actually tried to portray much of what happened on the beach. Now, there was some conversation I had this morning that basically entailed that a news reporter might have leaked when they were going to do this invasion and the Germans were ready for them. I do know that, you know, when they landed on the beach and they opened up these troop carriers, that there were German pillboxes out there. I mean, describe what the fact from fiction, because you were talking about Normandy and how much of this is true and how much of it is Hollywood.
Yeah, I'm not sure about a reporter spilling the beans, but I know that an intoxicated American general almost spilled the beans at a dinner party in London. And Eisenhower quickly demoted him and shipped him back to the United States. It was a West Point classmate of Eisenhower, no less. Oh, so it was deeply personal. for Eisenhower. But I'd say one of the greatest things going against the Germans was their own ego and their own sense of self-determination, because the German high command was of the mind that there's no way that the Allies are going to attack in Normandy. The channel is over 100 miles wide at that point. They're going to attack at Calais, where it's a fraction of the distance. And no matter how much evidence swayed their way, or no matter how much the inclination of some generals moved, nothing could convince Hitler or the high command otherwise that the advance wasn't going to come at any other point but Calais. And that proved to be a huge, rather egotistical bit of miscalculation on their part. But in regard to Saving Private Ryan, I think the first half hour of the movie does an excellent job at offering a condensed view of what happened on the Normandy beachhead. In reality, a lot of those troops were bogged down there for 6, 7, 8 hours in some instances. And so it's very compacted what we see here. But World War II veterans were very moved by what they saw in that movie. A lot of them became champions of the film, because they realized that it opened up a doorway. It was a gateway to conversation. And I think one could argue that that movie leads to so many things that raise our consciousness about the Second World War. The D-Day Museum in New Orleans, the National World War II Museum, or Memorial in Washington, D.C. Tom Hanks was involved in all of these things. I mean, he fundraised for them.
Wow.
And so it just really goes to demonstrate the power of Hollywood popular culture in shaping what we know about the war.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah. Jared Frederick, thank you so much. We're out of time. We're at the break. Into the cold blue.
ThePowerMill.com or call 877-817-9829. Are you tired of trying to figure out how to get all your fruits and vegetables into your busy lifestyle? OptiVita Complete Essentials provides you with 22 whole food vitamins and minerals, 29 fruits and vegetables, probiotics, antioxidants, and botanicals for ultimate health and nutrition. 30 individual packs, now less than $3 per day. Get your OptiVita Complete Essentials by calling 877-817-9829 or order online at thepowermall.com.
I don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the OptiVita silver lozenges. Of course, then the Oregaresp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
My husband is a welder by trade, but he grinds his welding products, and he doesn't wear a helmet or a mask to do that. And he had this cruddy stuff in his lungs, and it just wasn't going away. And I heard you one time talking about the Sera enzyme for the lungs, and my goodness, I mean, he can breathe so much easier, and I don't hear that crud in his lungs. Thank you so very much.
To find out more about this product or others like it, go to our website at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Jay's standing by to take your call. Now more than ever, we need your support. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.